Kra Chris Song Fung Kun Chi Blau. Christ is risen. Christos Voskrese. So what is it that we're celebrating? I don't mean just today, I mean during this period of time. Of course, this is the myrrh bearers, the Sunday of the myrrh bearers, and also Joseph and Nicodemus. So we're celebrating their exploit, and that they went to a tomb that didn't have a dead man in it. But what is the significance of this tomb not having a dead man in it? What did he come for? Basically, 500 years of pseudo-Christianity, the past 500 years, has thought that Jesus Christ came in order to pay a price for our sins, in order to be punished in place of us. Orthodox Christians that have not been raised around Western people, they go, what in the world? That's the craziest thing they ever heard, ever. That's nutty. The idea that God the Father would require his son to die so that he wouldn't kill us, to appease his righteous anger. This is why Jesus came, from the canon, and if you stay for the canon, you will hear it. This is so wonderful. I can't get enough of this kind of hymnology, because this is not only beautiful poetry, but it gives you energy. Which one of us is having a good time right now, huh? I mean in general, right now during this pandemic. Which one of us is just like everything is roses every day? Not a one of us. It's getting more and more difficult. There's a lot of things to be concerned about. Economic and medical and all over the world. Political. And plus some people are having big problems. Big problems. Depression, etc. Increasing. Anxiety increasing. It's hard. But this kind of thing that I'm about to read to you, that I keep telling you I'm going to do, and then I go off on a tangent, but you're used to that by now, I think, is the kind of thing that gives us energy. So feel the energy of this. It's really immensely beautiful. As one who loveth mankind, desiring to save from deception all whom thou hast created, thou didst endure to be nailed to the cross, O Savior, that by thy flesh thou mightest restore thine image, which was buried under the passions, and having cast down Hades, thou didst arise, and the dead with thee. That's what we're celebrating. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death upon those in the tombs bestowing life. Not just the people that were in the ground, that were just bones or even just dust, but us now in this life. And the things that make us dead in this life, the Lord will trample down even in this life. A Christian believes that. Now, that doesn't mean we don't go through problems. We don't go through emotional upheavals, anxiety, depression, concern for others, feeling a little stir crazy, maybe snapping at the kids. All that stuff, which encompasses being a fallen human being, all that stuff's happening to us in different varying degrees. But if we live with this idea, not an idea, it's a reality, that the Lord came so that he would uncover that image of himself that is in us, that's covered up by sin, covered up by all that stupidity and all that passion and all that being angry at people and all that being judgmental and all that, like if somebody says something cross-eyed to you, you're just really mad and all that stuff that happens to us. Plus just the lethargy. Did anybody have any lethargy? Let's see, who feels lethargic sometimes during these days? Who's going to raise their hand? I'll raise my hand twice. It's hard, isn't it? Is it hard? Okay, some of you told the truth, the rest of you, you're lying. Almost every single one of you must be lying if you're not raising your hands. Because it's hard. But this is what the Lord came for. The Lord came so that that image that's covered up by all that stuff can become alive, can become exactly as the Lord intended for us to be, to grow into his likeness. That's why the Lord became man. That's why he mounted the cross. That's why he died and was buried in the tomb. That's why he rose from the dead without breaking the seal. That's why he showed his disciples and his apostles and the women that were with him about his resurrection. And on that day, all of them didn't get it right, did they? Did anybody really get it right except the Theotokos? Nobody. Everybody was confused, afraid, said, well, you know, some of our number had said that he's risen from the dead, but that seems a fanciful tale and all that sort of stuff. And yet, with all that stupid human tricks that was going on, the Lord showed them he was alive. And then they were willing to live for him completely, so much that they would die for him. Because that image that is covered up by all that dirt is uncovered because the Lord chose to become a man and to make the human flesh capable of eternal life, capable of having all of that image uncovered and shining and bright and clean and beautiful and peaceful and holy. That's what we're celebrating. Now, the reason why I love these services so much is because this kind of hymnology is constantly, constantly in the services, all the time. That's why I tell you, read the services. And that's why I've told you to send an email to Father David Stroud. I've sent you his email address multiple times, and I'll do it again if anybody doesn't have it, so that you can have the very thing that I have in front of me, you can have in front of you every single Saturday night if you wish. And you can read these services and benefit from them. We're weak human beings. Stuff is hard. It absolutely is hard. I've been surprised. In the beginning, it wasn't so hard for me. I'm concerned for my flock and everything. And now I feel a lot of weight. I feel a ton of weight. It's not going to get easier when the pandemic quarantine is over. It's going to be harder because people will come out of it a little bit shaken, a little bit weirded out. There'll be problems. There'll be financial problems, economic problems. I mean, one of our number, one of our own is suffering from illness and all of the uncertainty to go with that and all of the difficulties of the treatment and everything breaks your heart. And I hope that you pray for them. And of course, we're going to, as a parish, do our very best to cover the deductible for them. Even though things are not so secure with us in our parish right now. Who knows what's going to happen? Nobody knows. I mean, nobody would have guessed that this pandemic would have literally, basically paralyzed the world. Now, I went to Uganda in the December, and I went to Kenya in January, and especially in both of them, really. Uganda's a gentler place, but Kenya is kind of a police state, and people, their subsistence, they live by subsistence farming. And they're not supposed to go out. And so police just bust their heads. It's a very, very hard thing. You either starve to death or you don't get your head busted. I mean, either one of them is not really a very... Or you get your head busted. Either one is a bad option. It's really hard for people in Kenya. And in Uganda, they're starving. The locusts came from Sudan and from Ethiopia and started eating up stuff. And plus now you've got where people can't even get out and where their commerce is paralyzed even more than ours. I mean, we can still go and buy peanut butter if we want. Or for that matter, we can buy coconut cream pie if we want or ice cream, you know? So for a little while, people were scared that we didn't have toilet paper. And now I'm sure we have plenty of toilet paper. But in some of these other places, they don't have it. It's tough. It's very hard. And in the midst of all this, how do you live? You live as a Christian. You live aware that Jesus Christ came to perfect you, to uncover that image that was covered up, and to make you so that you could become alive. Not by magic now. He doesn't just decree it. He just doesn't say, okay, you're fine now. Just go ahead and do whatever you're going to do, and you'll be fine. You'll go to heaven. No. He tells us through the theology of the church, through the whispering of the Holy Spirit in ways that cannot be uttered, in a language that we don't even know. Our heart knows the language, but it's not even words. He tells us of himself, and we get through the hard times. That's why I read these services so often. I actually, to be honest with you, maybe I shouldn't admit this, but I like reading them more than when I'm serving them. When I was a deacon, I just loved the services because I was just responsible for doing this and that. I didn't have all this weight on my shoulders. I didn't have to answer this question and that question and do that and this and make time for this and make time for that. And now it's a different life. It's a much different life. But you have the opportunity to read these services, to benefit from them, to struggle. And I understand that, you know, you're going to go do something, most likely. Probably most of us are going to do something stupid next week. Really stupid. And even shameful and even just destructive. Or we're just going to lay around and, I don't know, watch too many YouTube videos or something, and we're going to say, why did we do that? Well, because we're weak, because the image of God in us is still covered up a little bit, but it's being uncovered. And we have verses like this from this canon, which I believe is, what is it? It's the seventh tone. It's in the seventh tone. The canon of the myrrh bearers, not the seventh tone. It's the seventh ode, canon of the myrrh bearers. So you have to wait until service is three quarters over to be able to hear it. But it's worth it to hear it. Let's just listen to it one more time. As one who loveth mankind, desiring to save from deception all whom thou hast created, thou didst endure to be nailed to the cross, O Savior. Oh, I want to make one remark here. Thou hast endured to be nailed to the cross. For us, the cross is sort of a conduit so that the Lord could do the things that he did. For so many people, the cross is like, okay, that's where it happened. That's where Christ made the sacrifice to his Father, or else we were going to be toast. We mentioned the cross as an ensign of victory, because the Lord became victorious by dying on the cross. But the real activity, I won't say real activity, that's not the right way to put it. I'd say the bulk of our salvation occurred after the cross, right? Because the Lord went down into Hades, broke that power of sin and death, and communicated all of that to his apostles, and then sent the Holy Spirit to us, to them, and then through them to us 50 days later, so that we could know these things and live these things. So, thou didst endure to be nailed on the cross, O Savior, that by thy flesh thou mightest restore thine image, which was buried under the passions. And having cast down Hades, thou didst arise, and the dead with thee. Aren't those sweet words? If we live a little bit more by these sweet words, then the tough stuff that we go through is a lot easier. I don't mean that it's easy. I don't mean that you don't have troubles tomorrow. I don't mean that work still isn't a drag and that you're still not worried about making rent and that you're not still worried about a relative that's sick or something like that. But that you're aware that throughout all of this, the Lord is uncovering his image, which he planted in you. He never forgets anything he plants. He knows exactly where his image is, and he's uncovering it right now. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.